This is the Aftermarket Radio Network.
All right. Hey, everybody. Welcome back to the Auto Repair Marketing Podcast, episode number 156. And I'm really, really honored to have this super special guest, Brittany Hodak. And you know, Brittany, I didn't even double check to make sure. Did I say Hodak right?
You did. Yep, exactly right. You crushed it.
Well, before we jump in and get started, let me just pause for a minute and thank our amazing sponsors. We couldn't do this without them.
RepairPal will introduce your shop to new customers through RepairPal.com, the largest site for auto repair. Learn more at RepairPal.com/shops. And thanks to our friends at AppFueled, declined repairs don't have to be lost revenue. AppFueled's call center schedules follow-up calls and equips your team with everything they need to close the deal. Get started now at AppFueled.com.
All right, Brittany, I told you when you came in that I'm kind of fangirling over you because I had the incredible honor of hearing you at Vision this year, the high tech expo and training event in Kansas City. And I'm going to tell you, I was sitting there taking notes on my remarkable tablet, going crazy and highlighting this and circling that and following your slides. And so excited because I was teaching a class, I think the next day, on creating great shop culture that not only attracts clients, but also future team members. And so it was like you were validating all the things that I was about to say. So I'm super excited to have you here. Thank you so much for carving out some time in your calendar to spend with me today.
Well, thank you so much, Kim. I am thrilled to be here. It was so much fun to get to meet you and your team and so many probably listeners of this podcast right now at Vision. It's such a wonderful community, and it is really an honor to get to be here for this conversation today.
Yeah, and you just said the right word, community. Lots of people, I don't know how much experience you have necessarily in the automotive space, but hopefully it surprised you to come to an event where there were all of these independent automotive repair shop owners and seeing them all excited about networking with one another, learning. There's lots of shops who close their shop and bring their entire team to these conferences like Vision. So
I loved that. I loved getting to meet so many people who serve at all levels of the shop and are responsible for so many different experiences. My dad was actually a customer service manager for a shop. And that is how I fell in love with customer experience and seeing the things that he was doing for his customers and the various things that he and his team came up with to not just serve a customer, but keep a customer. And so that is a world that I, you know just a little bit about and have really fallen in love with the culture and the service attitude that everyone who is successful in this industry has.
Yep. You know, one thing about the industry, and it's a problem that we all talk about trying to figure out how to solve, is that it's only about 1% maybe of the industry that comes to these events. I just got back from one late Sunday in Pennsylvania. We probably attend anywhere from 10 to 15 of them a year, all automotive in the automotive space. But, you know, getting the shops out there that are not tapped in. They don't even know that this community, like you said, exists. But I want to just share a little bit, just give a little nugget to our listeners that were not there, just to kind of draw them in and understand why I'm fangirling over you. But first of all, at the luncheon, I had the honor because Shop Marketing Pros, our company sponsored the management lunch. So we had an opportunity to come up and say hi to you afterwards. And I'm just going to show off for those looking on YouTube or watching. This is the book that Brittany wrote. It is Creating Superfans, How to Turn Your Customers into Lifelong Advocates, which is exactly what we want our automotive repair shop friends to do. And so her book and her talk at Vision, of course, you know, the book has far more in it, but she unveiled this super approach, breaking down the word super into this acronym. And so we're going to dig in a little bit to that. But I want to tell you, first of all, Brittany was on Shark Tank. So she's got a whole history behind her of this super successful business that she did, essentially helping musical artists create an experience. And some of her clients that she worked with, not only just in the entertainment field, but Johnson & Johnson, Kellogg's, Dr. Pepper. I don't drink Dr. Pepper, but one thing I know about Dr. Pepper is that they have a complete, almost cult-like following of customers who just are obsessed with Dr. Pepper. So I'm sure you helped with that.
Well, I am one of them. I drink Dr. Pepper like it is my job. Like, it's funny. I just took a drink of water. If I'm not drinking water, I'm drinking Dr. Pepper. And sometimes people will offer me like a Coke or a Pepsi and I'm like, it's not worth the calories. What? No.
That's right.
If it's not water or tea, I'm drinking Dr. Pepper.
We all have our thing like that, I guess. Some more Katy Perry, Luke Bryan, and Dolly Parton.
Maybe Saint that Dolly
is part of why I'm a bit starstruck. So
Dolly is everything you would ever want her to be and more. Just absolutely incredible, stunning, fantastic. I've had the privilege of working with her multiple times and working alongside her even more. She's just absolutely incredible. It's funny, for anyone listening who doesn't know, Dolly has something called Dolly Parton's Imagination Library, and she sponsors free books being sent to any child from birth to age 5. So 60 books, one a month from birth. The first one that everybody gets is The Little Engine That Could, because that was a book that held a special place in Dolly's heart. And then they get some that like set them up to go off to kindergarten as like 59 and 60. And then in between all of these incredible books. So I, of course, signed my oldest son up for the Imagination Library. And when the books would come in the mail every month, I would just say like, oh, you got a book from Aunt Dolly, because that was like the easiest way to, you know, understood the concept of aunt. As he got a little older, like four and a half, he started asking questions. Like one month he was like, Mom, is Aunt Dolly really my aunt? And because he's, you know, we live in Nashville, so he's aware of who Dolly is. Sure. And because I've got some stuff in my house of like, I was very privileged to get to write the liner notes to one of Dolly's albums, and I've got like the platinum album thing signed. And then I've got some of the other things that we've worked on. And she launched a children's book like a week before my son was born. And so I was at an event with her and I was like super duper pregnant. Like I would not have left the house for anything other than an event with Dolly. And so I've got like a really sweet picture of us that, you know, he has seen. So anyway, he was like, is she really my aunt? Because I think she's famous. And I was like, Dolly's kind of everybody's aunt. Like I didn't say no, because I was like, oh, he's now like caught me in the lie. So I was like, yeah, Dolly's sort of like everybody's aunt. Mm-hmm. And he was like, oh, okay. And like a month later, he was like, where does Aunt Dolly live? And I was like, oh, she lives in Brentwood by Mr. Jim, because she actually lives like very close to my attorney. And I was like, you know, Mr. Jim, like Miss, you know, or Aunt Dolly lives nearby. And he was like, why don't we ever go visit? And why doesn't she ever come to our house to visit? And I was like, well, you know, Aunt Dolly's like very busy. And then like the next month, he was like, okay, if Aunt Dolly is really my aunt, is she my aunt on mommy's side or daddy's side? Like Aunt Rhonda is Nana's sister. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, okay, man, I've got to figure this out. So anybody out there with littles in your life, if you have a child or you have a grandchild, look into the Imagination Library. It is absolutely incredible, totally free. It's in the United States and several other countries. You can sign up and get these incredible books to help inspire a love of reading, but be smarter than me in the way you position it to your kids so that you don't get called out in a lie several years in.
Well, now you have to bring him to meet her. You have to make sure that they meet if they haven't met already.
I know. And I'm going to have to be, they haven't yet met. I'm going to have to be like, Aunt Dolly. Awesome. Well, it's really funny because he's started watching Hannah Montana. Now he's 7 now. I think it was my niece who got him into Hannah Montana, because she loved Hannah Montana when she was younger. And she is a recurring character in Hannah Montana. And she is called Aunt Dolly in the show. And he was like, wait, so Hannah Montana and I have the same Aunt Dolly. And I was like, yes.
You really have created a monster there. That's funny. You laid out for us at Vision this super framework, which you really elaborate on in your book. And I just want to start with, right, we're marketers and we help shops with their marketing. Your branding is absolutely superb. I was obsessed with your slides. You drew me in, just the how they're so engaging, and the like you created an experience with your audience sitting in the room from the first slide that went up there. and it just captured my attention and it pulled me in. And so I am the perfect example of exactly what you hope will happen, Brittany, because immediately I go, let me find her on Instagram. Let me go find her on Facebook. And so I went in and I'm like, okay, she's for real. Like what she's got up here. And I started doing all of the following. And then I started getting your emails. I'm looking at your website and then started digging into the book. And the thoughtfulness is the only way I can describe the thoughtfulness behind, like, these are not just black and white pages, y'all. There's graphic design in here. Like, this isn't even one of the ones I've like marked, but for those who are like, you just see how beautiful this book is, how easy it is to read and how engaging. And the funny thing is, I have some friends who listen who fuss at me because I'm an underliner in a book and a highlighter. And I generally go to the back of the book where the blank pages are and I'll start putting my to-do notes in the back. And they've been harassing me about writing in the book. And I'm like, you're supposed to write in a book. Why would you not write in the book? And then also, just to finish up what I'm saying about branding is your recent email. You know what I'm talking about.
I think you're talking about all the surprises I found in Uranus.
That's correct. Who knew that was even a place?
Kim, have you spent much time in Uranus?
Well, that's a rude question. Oh my gosh.
You don't want to talk about Uranus? You're the one who brought Uranus up, Kim.
Oh my gosh. Look, I'm blushing, but I was laughing out loud. I even sent it to my team. I'm like, y'all, first of all, try to read this email without laughing, without crying, without stopping and saying, did I just read that? But I love how you were drawn into this place that you were drawn. You weren't even planning to stop there. But like, just briefly share a little bit about that experience and what happened when you were there.
Sure. Well, thank you for giving me the opportunity to talk about Uranus, Kim. So this newsletter may not be my favorite one I've ever written, but it's a strong contender for number two. That was another joke.
Oh my God.
I was recently driving to an event in Muncie, Indiana, and I flew into Indianapolis and rented a car and was driving to Muncie. And I drove by a sign that said, the best fudge comes from Uranus. And it made me smile. And I thought, that's funny. That's clever. And then I drove by another sign that said something similar. And I said, all right, I've got to stop. And it, you know, I love a good roadside attraction. I love a good tourist trap. Like, I will drive so many miles out of my way for something that might be fun. And I was blown away by the level of commitment to the bit. Like, it was like you had an 11-year-old boy come up with every punchline, every joke. The name of their mascot is Rex. Rex Uranus. And if that doesn't tell you about how much fun you would have probing this unique place that happens to make fudge. And then, of course, they sell all kinds of like silly like merchandise things. But the level of commitment was just absolutely like chef's kiss. Perfect. And I wrote an email about it because I love to find examples of marketing out in the wild that are fun, that have a strong point of view, that draw somebody in. Because Kim, I promise you, the single biggest threat to every person listening right now to your shop is something that may not even be on your radar. And that is apathy. People who drive by your shop every day, but don't care enough to stop, don't care enough to call you the next time they have a check engine soon light come on, or the next time they think that they need new brake pads, or the next time that, you know, their kid's soccer ball or baseball like cracks their windshield. They just don't care enough to choose you. You don't have an awareness problem. You have an apathy problem. And until you have a strategy to make people care, you are going to continue to lose customers. And by the way, not just prospective customers, but existing customers. I know there were some great stats shared at Vision about the number of people who could not tell you the name of the independent auto service shop that they went to a year after, or 6 months after, or even 1 month after, because in their mind, it all blurs to the same. It is seen as a commodity, not as a category of one, not as a trusted partner who would, they would never like roll the dice and gamble to trust their car or their child's car or their spouse's car or whatever it is to anyone else. You have got to overpower that apathy. You have got to become a category of one. And the way you do that is by connecting your story to every customer story, by setting yourself apart, by saying, here's why we're not like all the others. Here's why our shop is different from our competitors. And here is the experience you are going to have every single time you entrust us to fix whatever problems that you're having with your car. Like, you trust us, this is what you're going to get. And if you don't have that strategy, and if you don't have alignment from everyone on your team so that everyone understands that they are in the experience department, they are delivering your brand's promise, then you are by definition a commodity provider. You are by definition somewhere I can go to get my oil changed or get my tires rotated or have my air conditioner fixed. And if you are a commodity provider, then how am I going to make my decision? I'm going to make it based on commodity factors. Who is the cheapest? Who can do it the fastest? Who is the closest to my home or office? If you don't want to compete on those losing tactics, then you have to differentiate yourself. You have to build a brand. You have to have a point of view, and you have to connect your story to your customer story through every interaction with everyone on your team. And that is what I loved about Uranus. Kim, thank you for asking.
Well, it reminded me of like Buc-ee's, and then there's the South of the Border. Do you know about that one on Interstate? I think 85 or 95 going north, like into South Carolina. It's on the border of South Carolina, North Carolina, I think.
It's like a gas station chain, like a Buc-ee's style.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, it's not a chain. It is one location, but for hundreds of miles, they start with their billboards leading up to you getting off the exit. And anyway, but that's what.
Not had the opportunity to go, but I cannot wait to do so. You said it's on the border between North and South Carolina?
I'm pretty sure that's exactly where it is. You won't miss it. If you're on that interstate, there's no way. And it is absolutely a tourist trap for sure. So definitely add that to your radar.
I will love it. Then I, you know, it's so fun. As a keynote speaker, I get the privilege to travel all around. I was going to say all around the world. Usually I say no to international gigs, but like all around North America. I've got two little kids, so I don't like to travel internationally unless it's an opportunity that I really, really can't say no to, but I get the privilege of traveling all around the country. And there are so many, not just beautiful areas, but so many fun things like that. Like there are so many stops like Uranus, Indiana, that I'm just like, this is the greatest thing ever.
Yeah.
And I think that independent auto shop owners and marketers can learn from all of them, because your competitors aren't just comparing the experience they have with other shops. Like it could feel that way, but they're not. They're benchmarking it against like the dentist they really love, or the chiropractor that's doing something really cool, or that fabulous new restaurant that did something that made them feel really, really appreciated. Like those are your competitors. And so to constantly have your antennas tuned to like, what are these remarkable experiences? What are the fun things that are happening? What's something that made me smile, that made me laugh, that blasted through that apathy, that made me care, that made me have an opinion and tell somebody about it and remember it and want to go back. Like those are the things that you can ask yourself, how can we take an element of that and make that come to life in my shop?
I love talking about sponsors of the podcast who have already worked with and who have used before. So today I'm super excited to talk to you about RepairPal, which if you didn't know, will introduce your shop to new customers through RepairPal.com, the largest site for auto repair, and through the recommendation of their partners like USAA, CarMax, and Consumer Reports. Our shop was in RepairPal's certified network, and it was great for getting new customers who were looking for more than just oil changes. The average RepairPal customer spends over $600 on their first visit. I loved it, especially because we all know that consumers still mistrust repair shops. But the millions of customers that visit RepairPal.com monthly, they trust RepairPal certified shops for their high quality and great service. And there's no fear about being overcharged, so we were able to just focus on the repair. I highly recommend you check them out. It's the way to grow your business. Go to repairpal.com/shops, get 1 month of service free, and save $150 off certification. Independent auto repair shops, get ready to transform your business with AppFueled. It's time for your professional auto service shop to have its own customer loyalty app. AppFueled will build an app that launches a custom loyalty program for your shop in 30 days or less, fully integrated with your point of sale system. Bring Fortune 500 level customer retention strategies to your business without the Fortune 500 budget. Many shops are enjoying the benefits. Our app engages your customers with a loyalty ladder, enticing them to climb the next rung, coming back more often and spending more each visit, all with your own app. Build loyalty with your customers, to your brand, and boost your shop's growth. Get your first app in 30 days or less, all without breaking the bank. Ready to start? Let AppFueled take your business to the next level. Go to appfueled.com or meet founder Jeremy Glasgow and book your complimentary app vision session at appfueled.com/Jeremy. That's appfueled.com/Jeremy.
The apathy part, which I love, comes under the understand section, if I recall correctly, of your framework. But I want to back up just a little bit because I'm a bit obsessed with the storytelling part, which is the S. And being that you're in Nashville, I'm sure you've heard of StoryBrand and Donald Miller. Uh-huh. And so Brian and I were both StoryBrand certified guides. So we brought StoryBrand framework into how we market for our clients. So I really loved that piece. And so I want to just touch on it a little bit more. Are you saying that the story is what connects them and kind of helps that shop owner understand the client and eventually help them to get over that apathy part and have a reason to come to that shop where they're connected to it? Is that kind of what you're saying about that?
Yes, that's a great summation. So I'll back up a little bit and say in the book, I introduce a framework called the SUPER model, which you mentioned before. And SUPER is an acronym. It's a 5-part framework that anyone can use to better connect their story to their customer story. Because I believe that super fans are created where your story and your customer story overlaps. That is where apathy dies. Like when somebody has a clear point of view or a clear understanding of like, you were able to fix this when nobody else could, or I know I can count on you because... that is where apathy dies. That is where somebody has a point of view. You've connected your story to theirs. So SUPER stands for start with your story, which is what we'll dive into. That's the one that you ask about. But then the other four pillars are you understand your customer story. P, personalize. E, exceed expectations. And R, repeat. And you can think of them about a bit like a pyramid because each one builds on the one before. And so that S, start with your story, is foundational and it is incredibly important. And I know that you likely believe as a StoryBrand coach that your story is your most important and most enduring competitive advantage because it is the thing that sets you apart. It is the most difficult thing, or rather it is the foundation of the most difficult thing for your competitors to copy. And that is the experience that people have with you. So your story acts as your North Star. It informs everything about why you do what you do. Like, what does it smell like in your waiting room? What does it look like in your waiting room? What is something that you do every time before you release a car back to the person who brought it in? What do you say when you pick up the phone? What do people find when they go to your social media pages or your websites? When you send something through the mail, what does it look like and what is it conveying? Like all of those things that are unique to you. Like if I took your logo and your name off of it, would your customers and the people in your community still know it was from you because it felt different from all of your direct competitors out there? And that is what story is all about. That is what brand is all about. And so I believe that stories accelerate the path to connection, that with the right story, you can turn someone into a customer for life. You can turn them into an enthusiastic advocate because they feel a sense of connection. They feel like, oh, I've found the right place. This is the one for me. This is where I'm supposed to be. And the really important thing about that is in an experience-driven economy, you don't just need customers who come back. You need customers who tell their friends. And especially in something that, again, can feel transactional or can feel accidental or incidental is probably a better word, because outside of like routine care, a lot of times customers that are coming to your shop aren't coming to your shop because they want to be. It's not because like things are going great. It's because something has happened. So now that they're needing to make a decision or a choice of who's going to help them because of an accident, because of check engine light that came on, because of something that happened, how do we make sure that we are top of mind and that instead of just opening up Google Maps on their phone and looking up like shop near me, they're remembering that, oh yeah, that I should never take a chance and go somewhere else because I had such a great experience last time. Even if that last time was 3 years ago, 4 years ago, or even if last time was their sister-in-law or their uncle or their cousin or somebody else that they remember overhearing a story about, oh yeah, this was really great. So they reach out and say like, hey, Jennifer, remind me where it was that you said took great care of you last year. Like, how are we creating experiences that are rooted in story that people will remember and share?
So last night I was scrolling, you know, Instagram.
As one does. Facebook,
whatever, whichever one I was on. Actually, I think it was this morning, to tell you the truth, because I logged into our Slack channel and I shared it with our team and I was like, listen to this and start thinking about how we can add to the experience we give to our clients. And it was somebody telling their story of Chewy.com. They weren't talking about the same story that you shared about the email that you had with, was it Kelly?
Yeah, Kelly was the name of the person. Yeah.
And it just, I was like, oh, I'm talking to her today. But they were talking in this reel, in this video, they were talking about how when your pet passes away, one of the things on your list is not to reach out to Chewy and say, hey, my pet passed away, let me cancel my subscription. It's a month or two later that you get that dog food automatically shipped to you and you realize, I really need to call. So they would reach out and Chewy would say, we're so sorry about that. We're going to credit you for the last 2 months. And by the way, just donate that to someone that needs it. And it triggered me from the story that you had. And the way that I'm relating it to the automotive repair shop owners is that every single interaction is an experience. I think you even said that. I think I took a note of that from Vision. Experience is everything and everything is experience. Every single touch point matters. And see, I was a good note taker during your session. But that's so true for the automotive repair shop in that the service advisors, for example, every text exchange they have, every email, every phone call, is making a difference in possibly, like you said, a difficult time. So let's go back to the Chewy. And this is in chapter 16, pet sounds. You also mentioned it at Vision, but just quickly bring our listeners up to speed about your experience with Chewy and how it resonated with you and just knocked, how they knocked it out of the park with personalization.
Yeah. Well, I was ordering a prescription dog food for my dog. I had a puppy that I just adopted and couldn't figure out like why every food was upsetting his stomach. And so I had ordered this food and sent a copy of the prescription from the vet. I'd never ordered from Chewy before, but it's where I found this prescription dog food online. And the email from the agent back to me was so nice and personal. And she mentioned Bear's name, which I hadn't mentioned. I just said, like, here's this prescription for the order. Thank you. And she wrote back about Bear, which was such a nice personal touch because, you know, I wasn't buying dog food for a dog. I was buying dog food for my dog, the most important dog on the planet. You know, just like every single person who comes to your shop is there about like the car that matters more than any of the other cars for the customer that matters more than any of the other customers. And she acknowledge that. She made me feel that I mattered. And I just sent a really quick note back. I said, perfect. Thanks so much for the quick reply. I really appreciate it. And so does Bear. And I, you know, kind of thought that was the end of it. That at that point, Kelly and I would just, you know, continue to live our very separate, disconnected lives. But she wrote back again. She wrote back a really warm, thoughtful note about how grateful they were to have me as a customer and how they'd love to see pictures of Bear because they love meeting their VIPs, very important paws. And she reiterated that they were there 24/7 to help if I needed anything at all. And it was just such a kind, sweet note. And, you know, I wrote back and was like, of course I have pictures of Bear. Here's his little brother Bandit. Like, you know, check him out. It made me feel a sense of connection and gave me a personal touch point that I wouldn't have otherwise had. It helped them make that journey from commodity provider to category one before I even received the dog food. I was 10 minutes and two or three emails into my relationship with this company. And I already felt like I don't ever want to buy dog food from anywhere else because they care the most. They care about me. And so from that point, I was like, this company is pretty cool. And the lesson there for anybody listening to this is like, you are showing people what it feels like to work with you long before they step into your shop. You are showing them what it feels like to work with you the minute they hit your website, the minute they hit your socials, the minute they hit your Google My Business page and see whether or not that information is up to date or not. The minute somebody calls and speaks to someone or gets a text message or an email, like all of that is your brand and everything is experience. And you know, the fun thing about the Chewy story is that I share that a few months later, out of the blue, I got these personalized paintings of Bandit and Bear with a note thanking me for being a Chewy customer. And I love to share that story because every time I share it, people say to me, here's what Chewy did for me. Very much, Kim, like this story that you just shared of someone who got flowers when their pet passed away or people who were told to donate food all of these lovely outcomes in a story. I think I shared this at Vision. I can't remember for sure because it was like happening right around the same time. I had shared this story to a group of car wash owners and general managers. And somebody in the front row was like, what does that have to do with me? Like, you are spending way more on dog food than these people who are paying me $25 a month to have a membership to the car wash. And I said, okay, well, let's talk about that. How much is somebody who's spending $25 a month worth to you to keep? And he was like, I don't know, I guess $25 a month. And I said, all right, well, what percentage of people come through your car wash with kids in the backseat? And he said, I don't know, probably a lot. And I said, yeah, the reason I ask, I have two little boys. We're not allowed to go to the car wash without taking them. Like, if they come home from school and notice that the car has been cleaned, they are like angry, right? Because they want to see the, I'm going to say ShamWows. That's like not at all the right. Remember ShamWow? I wonder what happened to that guy. But the big like spongy like things, it's like you drive through like a Muppet, right? When you go through the tunnel and the kids love to see that. So I said, what if you gave a Hot Wheels car? What if the attendant who's drying off the car after they come through the tunnel, anytime they see a kid in the back seat, they roll down the window and they say, mom and dad are doing a great job keeping the car clean. I want you to keep this car clean for me. And you give a Hot Wheels car. Do you think that would make a difference when mom or dad is looking at the statement at the end of the month and trying to decide if they're going to keep that $25 subscription for another month? Like, do you think you might get another month or two from some of those parents? And he said, I don't know, I'm willing to try it. So this gentleman, Bruno, emailed me a couple weeks later and said, I bought a couple of cars, seemed to work really well. So I just ordered 1,000 online, which I didn't even know you could buy 1,000 Hot Wheels cars. Mm-hmm. That was not a quantity I was aware that they are available in, but apparently they are. So Bruno was like, I ordered 1,000 cars. And I thought about it a few months later and I was like, I wonder how it's going, Bruno. Like, I wonder how that is working. So I reached out and said, how's it going? Like, what did you think? And he said, the attendance and the customers love this, both the kids and the parents. We get so many nice comments that I'm now on my 12th box of Hot Wheels cars. So that's 12,000 cars that I have given away in under 6 months, and people are staying longer. They're coming more often. They're happier. And the reason I share the story is because that is a very direct like example of something anybody listening to do. Like, if you are not giving away cars or something car themed to children, or leaving one in a car seat with a parent's approval when you notice a car seat or a booster seat in the back of that car that you're servicing, like, that is a very immediate opportunity. But it's not just kids. It's, you know, I asked the question before, like, what does it smell like in your lobby or in your service center? Is there like a signature scent? And if so, are you making those air fresheners that have that same signature scent, reminding people that they should, you know, come back and offering them, it's going to say air freshener. That's what they're called, right? Like the scent strips or the air fresheners. Like, are you making those available to all of your customers? Like, what are the little things like that that you're doing to show them that you care, to show them that they matter as a customer and that you do care if they come back? Like, you care very much that they come back. You want them to come back. You want them to tell all of their friends and family that they should come as well. Because the number one reason that most companies fail isn't because they're bad. It's because they're average, and average is forgettable. Like, my husband stopped using, you guys will be happy to hear this, stopped using the dealership service center because it bugged him that even though they had a car wash tunnel there, they never washed his car when they gave it back. And he was like, you're charging $100 for an oil change and an air filter change, and you're giving me my car back not washed. Like, it would take you 30 seconds. It would cost you nothing. Why aren't you like running it through the car wash? And so anyway, now he's got a little independent shop that he loves that he goes to. And I had asked him before Vision, like, hey, did you say anything to your dealership? And he's like, of course I didn't. Why would I? That's not my job. It's not my job to have them be better. It's not my job to tell them to care more. Like, they could have made the decision. They have the facility right there, but they don't care enough to do it. They must not want me as a customer. They don't care if I come back or not. So every action that you have, you mentioned before, I like to say that experience is everything. It's the most important differentiator, but everything is experience. Every interaction, every touch point is going to leave your customer one of three ways: better, worse, or exactly the same as they were before it happened. And the overwhelming majority of experiences are neutral. We settle for neutral. We don't elevate it. We don't say, how can I surprise and delight them? How can I leave something that they're going to find and smile in the glove box or the center console a couple of days after they leave? How can I do something that's going to make them know that I care about them as an individual? And if you build your business from there, if you say it's not just about how do I get a customer or even how do I keep a customer, but how do I make a customer so delighted that they would never dream of going somewhere else? Like, that should be the floor, not the ceiling. And if you run your business that way, and if you insist that everyone on your team has that same outlook and operates from that same bar, you will absolutely turn your customers into lifelong loyal advocates.
I love it. It's all so, so good and incredibly powerful for all of our shop owners that are listening. We have our Facebook group, the Auto Repair Marketing Mastermind Facebook group, where people are constantly in there talking about, hey, we did this and it worked so well. And a lot of them are very similar to the things that you're talking about. We don't have a lot of time left, but I do want to ask you, are there any mistakes that you've seen companies make when trying to create super fans, and how can they fix those? How can they overcome those mistakes that maybe these shop owners want to know about?
Yes, I love this question, Kim. So not using contextual intelligence is like one of the biggest ones that I see of people trying to take a one-size-fits-all solution instead of a one-size-fits-one. And what might be appreciated by one customer could be seen as like invasive or even like creepy by another. So having to remember to treat every customer the way they want to be treated as an individual, getting to know them, asking the questions, especially in an industry where there are a lot of like stereotypes and there are a lot of penances being paid for like sins of people who came before you, right? Like you have a customer who may come in automatically skeptical, automatically on high alert, either because of a real or perceived slight that they have experienced from someone else in the past. And so knowing that everyone kind of comes in at a different level and everybody comes in with different expectations and needs. So where I see sometimes people go wrong is just like trying to treat every customer the same. And a joke that may land with one customer may infuriate another. So that is one thing to be aware of, is to say it is like a one size fits one, and how can we scale that? And then another thing is my dear friend, Shep Hyken, who is a customer experience author and speaker who I love and adore, talks about using AI in a way that makes things worse, not better. And he calls it artificial incompetence, which I love. And I think this is something that a lot of small businesses have fallen prey to over the past couple of years, is introducing artificial incompetence unknowingly by trying to just like use a chatbot out of the box without taking the time to train up resources both internally and externally to make things easier for your customers. So that's another mistake that I see, is the misuse of AI. Luckily, the technology is progressing so quickly that that is one that hopefully won't hang around for too much longer. But yeah, I love when Shep talks about artificial incompetence. I think that's a brilliant term. I wish I had come up with it. That is another one that I see of people trying to use, thinking like, oh, this will make things easier for me, not realizing that what they're actually doing is making things three times harder for a customer. And you should never introduce technology that makes things harder for a customer, even if it makes things easier for your team, because it's still ultimately going to be a net loss, because you're going to lose customers. Like, it is so much easier for somebody to find another solution than it is for somebody to continue to deal with roadblocks that you're throwing up for them.
A perfect example of that is within the last year, new technology has come out that's a scheduler. There's several different ones out there now, but AutoOps came out first, and so thoughtful in the user experience and how they're doing that. And it's definitely been great for the shop, but it's been an incredible experience on the customer side. So I love that. I have so many other questions for you. We may try to figure out how we can come back again some other time.
Part two. I love it. I'm in.
Yeah, I mean, like, we haven't talked about transferring all of this into the internal team and creating that super fan experience on the team. And I know that you talk about that. There's so many other things. So look, let me just give you the last word here. Is there anything in particular burning that we've missed, or like, I mean, I know there's a lot, but is there anything in particular that you know you really want to share that we haven't touched on?
I just want to thank everyone for listening. Thank you for taking the time to hang out with me and Kim. One of the stories that I share in my book is this concept of a slow elevator and how you can correct it. So if you're interested in that, I know we didn't really talk about that on the show, but if you go to my Instagram, I'm just at Brittany Hodak on Instagram. I'm sure Kim can pop it in the show notes. If you DM me the word elevator, I will send you my slow elevator guide, which outlines some of the most common problems that I find before, during, and after somebody has become your customer. So when they're in the consideration stage and also when they're in the post-purchase stage, plus the actual experience of you doing the service. This outlines, it's several dozen common issues that you can use to kind of audit it to see, are we guilty of doing any of these things before, during, or after we have a customer in our shop? So just DM me the word elevator at Brittany Hodak on Instagram, and I will send you the slow elevator guide.
Absolutely. I did that and I got it right away. Loved it. And definitely, I will for sure put that in the show notes. And so follow her on Instagram. She's on YouTube, Facebook. Website is BrittanyHodak.com, right?
Yep. All the places. My maiden name was Jones. And so I joke that I hit the SEO lottery when I upgraded from Brittany Jones to Brittany Hodak. So I'm Brittany Hodak, all the places, not a lot of competition for that name. So if you are somewhere online, and there are usernames, I'm probably just Brittany Hodak. And then yes, of course, BrittanyHodak.com is where you can find me. And the book, Creating Superfans, is available everywhere books are sold.
Perfect. Thank you so much. And that is H-O-D-A-K for you, for those of you that are looking, but it will all be in the show notes. Brittany, thank you so much. And hey, to our friends listening, thanks for listening again to the Auto Repair Marketing Podcast on the Aftermarket Radio Network. There are some other great shows on the network, and you can find them all at aftermarketradionetwork.com or on your favorite podcast listening apps like Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and many others. Tune in for another episode next week. And until then, go fill those bays.
You've been listening to the Auto Repair Marketing Podcast with Kim and Brian Walker. Follow the podcast on your favorite listening app. Find their emails in the show notes and visit them at shopmarketingpros.com. Let Kim and Brian know what you want discussed, because they're all about advancing the aftermarket.